From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Results from Wednesday's Dutch parliamentary election show the center-right government of Prime Minister Mark Rutte fending off a challenge from the anti-European Union Party for Freedom of parliamentarian Geert Wilders. Mr. Rutte spoke during a noisy campaign celebration.
I think it means in the Netherlands that people have been responsive to two messages. In the first place, that we should not experiment, that we should continue the policies of recovery to make this economy stronger, and now to make people feel in their personal lives that this economy is one of the best performing economies in the Western world.
While losing seats, Mr. Rutte's party retained its status as the country's biggest. Kristen Overboom is one of the millions of Dutch voters who cast ballots.
We want to show to Europe as well that we are not extreme rights, we are not fascist, as some people would say, as we've seen. But we are capable of running our own country in a democratic way.
Voter turnout 81%, the highest in 30 years. European Commission Chief Jean-Claude Juncker hailing it as a vote against extremists and a vote for Europe. Bruce Wilson is a European analyst at RMIT University in Melbourne.
It's certainly a rejection of the anti-Europe, anti-Islam sentiments of much of the debate of the last 12 months.
The Christian Democrat Party came in second, with Wilders' Party for Freedom coming in third with a gain of some seats. Moroccan King Mohammed VI has replaced his prime minister as he attempts to break a months-long deadlock over forming a new government. The Islamist Justice and Development Party won last October's election, but a dispute over economic reform with a coalition partner and talks with a new partner stalled. The impasse appeared to damage Morocco's reputation for political stability. This is VOA News. Hours before President Donald Trump's revised travel ban was set to go into effect, a U.S. federal judge in Hawaii Wednesday issued a temporary emergency halt to its implementation. The temporary ban is aimed at allowing for standards of scrutiny to be erected for allowing people to enter the U.S. from six countries: Iran, Libya, Syria, Somalia, Sudan, and Yemen. Iraq was taken off the original list. Mr. Trump reacted during a rally in Nashville, Tennessee.
The order he blocked was a watered-down version of the first order that was also blocked by another judge and should have never been blocked to start with.
The judge's decision in response to a lawsuit filed by the state of Hawaii, which argued the March 6th executive order discriminates against Muslims. Mr. Trump has vowed to take the case to the Supreme Court. President Trump's first budget proposal is set to be released Thursday for fiscal 2018, beginning October 1st. It calls for drastic cuts to many federal programs, reduced foreign aid, boosting defense spending. While it doesn't include a campaign pledge to spend $1 trillion on infrastructure improvements, it does begin funding a border wall with Mexico and ask Congress to cut several departments and eliminate funding for 19 independent bodies. Two separate suicide attackers blew themselves up Wednesday at different locations in Damascus, killing at least 31, wounding dozens. There was no immediate claim of responsibility, as the Syrian conflict, which has taken hundreds of thousands of lives, entered its seventh year. Speaking Wednesday to a U.S. congressional panel, British politician David Miliband, who now heads the NGO International Rescue Mission, appealed to the U.S. to help end the violence.
There is not just a war without end in Syria, there's also a war without law. And a principled American voice is needed to articulate support for international humanitarian law and accountability for those who violate it. The truth is, if the U.S. does not provide this voice, no one else will.
He urged lawmakers not to cut foreign humanitarian aid, warning it would be a setback to U.S. strategic leadership. West African troops rescued thousands of civilians being held in villages along the Nigerian-Cameroonian border by Boko Haram. The operation carried out over a week's time early this month, resulting in the liberation of some 5,000 people, many of them women. Uganda acknowledged Wednesday its security forces killed more than 100 people in an assault on a tribal leader's palace last year. That toll contrasts with the original 62 that officials cited earlier, and followed a Human Rights Watch investigation which concluded that 155 died, including children and security personnel. U.S. stocks rose sharply Wednesday after the U.S. central bank's policymakers raised a key interest rate, the Federal Reserve announcing it raised its target rate 25 basis points to between 0.75 and 1%. I'm Victor Beatty.
That's the latest world news from VOA.